Walk as children of light. Walk as God's offspring of light. You are right this minute the offspring of light because you are now light in the Lord and you are partakers of His divine nature. You are His children.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello and happy Monday. We appreciate you tuning in today for Pastor Bill's continuing study in the New Testament Epistle of Ephesians. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, Walk in the Light. Let's listen in.
So how do you find out what pleases the Lord? Well, the Word of God, amen. You know, but why? Why is this finding out what is pleasing to the Lord? Why do we do that? When we get into God's Word, why? Because we have to do something. When we were born from above, we have a new heart, we have a new nature, but we didn't get a new mind, did we? No. So what do we have to do? We have to remove all those years, it could be a few years for some, it could be 30, 40 years of others, we have to remove all of the darkness that we have been thinking all that time. Why? Because the Bible told us back in chapter 4 that our minds, our understanding was darkened because of the fall. And not only that, whenever Adam fell, we inherited from Adam that part that Satan blinded, okay? Remember when I talked about that. Now, so we remove years of darkness by doing something. We start kicking out the darkness by renewing our minds to the Word of God. It says in Colossians 1:10 that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. How? Well, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So how do we find out what pleases God? You already know. Just open your Bibles. Learning about the Lord, amen. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:1-2, you know that scripture, I don't even need to quote it, that, you know, we need to present ourselves a living sacrifice unto God. We don't want to be conformed to this world. We want to be transformed. How? By the renewing of our mind that we may prove what is that good and acceptable, the will of God for our life. And so it says in Ephesians 4:23, we covered it a couple, 3 or 4 weeks ago, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, not your mind, but the spirit of your mind. Now listen, we're to learn a person. We learn that also in Ephesians. And that person is our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, He said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. Let me give you my lowly heart. He says, learn from me. We're at Philippians 2:5, we're to have the mind of Christ. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not things upon this earth. So we remove all of those years of dark thinking. How? By the light of the Word of God. It says in Psalm 119:105, your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. And then it says, and have no fellowship, koinonia, okay? No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But what are we to do? It says, rather expose them, for it is shameful to even speak of the things, we don't know what they are, that we know they're deeds of darkness. It's to even speak of those things which are done by them. They're talking about whatever they were doing in Ephesus, okay? Which are done by them in secret. This is a command. It says, do not share, do not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't hang out with them, but rather expose them. You know, Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he gave them a command because, man, that was a wicked city and they were all messed up. And he gave them a command. He says in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And here it comes. And what koinonia, what fellowship, what communion hath light with darkness? We know the answer to that. Nothing. They have absolutely nothing in common. You know, light and darkness are extreme opposites. You can't mix them. Light reveals and darkness hides, doesn't it? Yes. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Did you see the contrast there? Light has fruit. Amen. Okay. But darkness has, it's unfruitful. It's the, and has works. That's important to distinguish that. See, darkness doesn't bear any spiritual fruit. None. The only thing that darkness bears is death. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin, because darkness is sin, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now listen carefully. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We are to do something. He says, expose the works of darkness. Expose them. The word literally is reprove, if you will. I want to ask you a question. How does that really happen? How does that really happen? You know, I know people, ministers, pastors. If you're a lost person, they destroy that individual to their face. They condemn and they cut them and they beat them to the ground and they tell them what a filthy, vile person that they are. And I've had that done to me before I was saved. Is that what God wants us to do? Is that how we expose the unfruitful works of darkness? Do we get right in their face? I mean, do we go, you know what? Maybe like James and John, oh Lord, you want to call down a little fire from heaven, you know? You know, do we look down our nose upon those that are in darkness and with a superior self-righteousness? No. Do we say, turn or burn? You know, get right, get left. That's nice, a little nicer. You know, Jesus used the same word that Paul used here. The word expose means also not only to reprove, but it means to convict. John 16:8, Jesus said this, and when he, meaning the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will reprove, expose, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The word convict or reprove, all those words, that's a courtroom word, okay? In other words, a verdict is forthcoming. So to convince that the believer, you know, this you need to follow the truth. Now listen to me. Convict is not to condemn. Do you understand? Conviction is a good thing. To be convicted by God is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Yeah, see, the Holy Spirit, he's not seeking a guilty verdict with the lost because they're already lost. They're already condemned. Does that make sense? You know, Jesus said this. He says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but through the world might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe, he's condemned already because the wrath of God abides upon him. So how in the world do we truly expose? Let me tell you something. Please, I don't believe there's any of you here like this, but let me just say it. Never, never be a Pharisee. Never. Boy, that is one of the most wicked things a person can be. Even Jesus, our Lord, he called the Pharisees, and they were considered by the Jews, if anyone was going to make it to heaven, it would be a Pharisee. They were considered the most religious people of the day. Boy, they were just over the top. But Jesus said, you know what? You're just a bunch of whitewashed tombs. You're full of dead men's bones. That's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. Listen to me now. You know it. I know it. The lost, they are dead in trespasses and sins, and they don't know it. They love darkness, and they don't know it. They don't have a clue. Why? They're natural man. They're in Adam. And the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit, nor can he welcome them into his heart because they're spiritually discerned. You can sit there and start telling somebody about Jesus that doesn't know the Lord, and they just look at you like, well, all right, but you're nuts or whatever. You can talk to them about anything else, you know, that doesn't bother them. You know, tell them that you love Biden. Tell them that you love Donald Trump. Okay, yeah, well, who doesn't? No, but I love Jesus. Oh, well, okay, I know who you are now. Do you understand? See, they can't do it. They don't have anything in them to receive that into their hearts. They're powerless to live a Christian life. So don't ever beat them down like that. No. Remember when the Pharisee invited Jesus to his house for dinner? And his motive, of course, I don't know what it was. It's probably impure. But it says in Luke 7:36, then one of the Pharisees asked Jesus, well, come and eat with us. And Jesus went to the Pharisee's house. He sat down to eat. And then in Luke 7:37, it says this, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. Now, she was outside. I don't have time to read the whole story, but she was outside, and she heard that Jesus was sitting at the table, and man, she rushed into that room, and whenever she did, she rushed in. She had a flask of that fragrant oil, remember? And she broke, and she started spreading it all over the Lord, and she was weeping, and as she started weeping, she had that long, long hair, and she started wiping the feet of Jesus, you know, with the oil and with her tears, you know, and kissing his feet. What did the Pharisee do? Now, when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, meaning all that that woman had done, he spoke to himself. He didn't say anything to anybody else. He spoke only to himself. This man, meaning Jesus, this man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner, everyone say what manner, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. The word what manner is comes from two different Greek words, okay? What it really means is this. If Jesus, he doesn't have a clue what type of dirt this woman is really made of. She is a vile, wicked sinner. You know the whole story. Jesus turned and looked at Simon, not at the woman. He says, Simon, I came into your house. You invited me here. You haven't kissed my feet. You didn't anoint me with oil. But this woman, you know the story and how she was forgiven. Listen, a Pharisee doesn't expose. A Pharisee destroys people. Yeah. No, how do we do that? Look at verse 13. Yeah. Here's how it's done. But all things, meaning the secret sins of verse 12, all these things that are, there's that word, exposed, how? Well, they're made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light, or literally, for light is what makes everything visible. Now listen, children of light expose the unfruitful works of darkness by manifesting who they really are in this world. They are light in the Lord. And the best way for a Christian to expose is just start shining. Amen? In other words, it's your walk that condemns already, isn't it? They know in the workplace that you're not over there. You're not going to go to the bars when you get off. You're not going to cuss. You don't tell jokes. You understand what I mean? You don't have to do anything but live the Christian life. You just have to love one another or love people and pray for them and so forth. Listen, our walk in Christ is the greatest weapon that we have. We can just flash light on this, flash light on their hurt. Do you understand? We can just shine. We don't condemn them. We love them. And what do? We show the lost real life. We show them Jesus. The Bible says in Luke 7:34 that Jesus, they called him a friend, or Jesus quoted that. He said, you call me, you say I'm a friend to the tax collectors and sinners. And yes, he is. He didn't participate in those sin. Of course, he was sinless. But no, you know, that's how we do it. We expose who we are, the light. And there are times, yes, that we do speak the truth in love to the lost. I do, you do. But how do we do that? Again, we speak the truth in love, but is there another way that we do? The vocal, the words that come out of our heart and our mouth. Yeah, it says in 2 Timothy 2:25, it says, here it comes, in humility, which is a characteristic of our Lord Jesus Christ. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. In other words, educate tenderly in humility the uneducated that don't know the Lord. He says, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. The truth will set you free, remember? They'll know the truth that they come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. Listen to this part. Having been taken captive, slaves of the devil, have been taken captive by the devil to do his will. Man, what a great ministry the Lord has given you. You know, we may not always speak, but we can always shine by our actions. Amen? See, actions, darkness has actions, light has actions, loved one. So we expose those unfruitful works of darkness by just manifesting who we are. We're saints in light, the Bible says. It says that we live in a crooked and perverse, a twisted and diseased world where we hold forth the word of God and we shine as lights. I think that's Philippians 2-something, 2:15. Man, that's who we are. He says in verse 14, look at it now. He says, therefore, going back to all that we've covered this morning, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ, meaning Christ the true light, and Christ will give you light, or he will shine upon you. Now, this verse here, there's no sense in even debating it because we don't have a scripture that's exactly the same. But so what I believe is happening here is that Paul is just doing, which happens in the Word of God, he's doing a loose quote from probably Isaiah 29 or Isaiah 60 verse 1, someplace in that area. But the thing is that when we look at this, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead. Who are the sleepers? Who are they? Well, they're the ones that are dead. They're dead in trespasses and sins. They're abiding in death, meaning they're abiding in darkness. So what is God doing? He's calling everybody that's sleeping in death, walking in death, living in death, darkness. He's calling them. He says, wake up, man. Rise from the dead and look at that promise, and Christ will give you light. He will shine upon you. Listen, sleepers, they like the darkness. Sleepers like the night. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are all sons of light, daughters of light, and sons of the day. We're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not, here it comes, sleep as those others do. He said, but let us watch and be sober for those, not us, but those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who love the darkness. Sleep also means they're like indifference or apathy. Could be, are you spiritually asleep? That's a terrible thing to be spiritually asleep, isn't it? Man, not knowing what God is doing. Not fellowshipping with the Lord. Oh, man, we don't want to ever, ever be there. One of the great revival sermons, I love it. You know, Paisley and who is it? Leonard Ravenhill. I met him twice. And, man, wake up, sleepy Christian. You ought to type that in and listen to the revival sermon, Wake Up Sleepy Christian, today on the internet. It's incredible. It'll send chills up and down your spine, man. He says, wake up, sleepy Christian. What is he saying? What's Paul saying? Wake up and walk as children of light. Manifest who you really are. And not only that, he's saying, don't hang out with sleepers, man. Don't hang out with sleepers and don't hang out with the unfruitful works of darkness. It says in Proverbs 4:18, it says, but the path of the just is like a shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. Now listen, we are living in a great time, a strange time. Turn in your Bibles with me. Let's do something before I close, if you don't mind. Let's just turn back to Romans. And I want you to go to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. And let's just look quickly and let's close this morning out. But let's look at this together. Look at Romans chapter 13 and go down to verse 11. Paul the apostle, he says, and do this. Okay, what do we need to do, Paul? He says, knowing the time that when, now, right this minute, not tomorrow morning, but right this moment today, right now, it is high time to do something. Awake out of sleep. Why? for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Now, that doesn't mean our salvation when I'm going to get saved today. It's talking about our future glorification when we go home to be with the Lord and we get our brand new bodies. Amen? He says, it's close. He says, man, the season is upon us. It's high time, meaning the hour is critical. It's right this very moment. The hour has arrived. The alarm clock is gone off for every person, every Christian. He says, you better wake up out of sleep. Why? Because our salvation is closer than when you first believed. When you first believed. Listen, Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago. We're closer today than any other generation in the history of the church. Amen? See, Jesus could come right now, the catching away of the church. We don't know. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But I know, and you know, that he is coming for us. And it says, oh, it is nearer, that imminent return of our Lord. The night is far spent, verse 12. The day is at hand. Therefore, what are we to do? He says, let us cast off the works of what? And the works of darkness, where do they lead? Always to death, never to life. Cast the works of darkness. Get away from me, man. And let us do something. Put on, robe ourselves, if you will, the armor of light. Why? Because we are the children of light. We are the light in the Lord. Paul says, the night's far spent, man. It's almost over. The day is at hand. That means the dawn is here. It's right up on us. He says, listen, it's imminent. Are you looking unto Jesus? Man, he may come today. You know, there is only one way out of darkness. Maybe you're listening in your car right now, maybe in another state, maybe someplace around the world. I don't know. Maybe you're on vacation. I don't know where you are. But if you don't know Christ, there's only one way out of darkness. His name is Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said? I am the light of the world. I am the only light of the world. I am the only illumination in the world for men. I'm the only one that can light up your life. And the only way to get out of darkness, he says, and he who follows me, come with me now. That's what he's saying. If you don't know Christ, he's saying, follow me, come with me right now. And you'll never walk in darkness. But you'll have the light of life. What a great, great promise. It's time to wake up. Not only sleepy Christians, it's time to wake up those that are dead, those that are sleeping in death, and those that are sleeping in darkness. The only way out is Jesus Christ. You know, if you don't know Christ, this is what I want you to do. I want you to come to the Lord. And why? And let me tell you why. Because you will be able to say, maybe you're here, I don't know that you are, but I know they're out there. If you will come to Christ, you will be able to say the exact same thing I just said earlier. I was once darkness. Just once. Past. But now, when I ask Jesus to be the Lord of my life, but now, I am the light in the Lord. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that those that are listening to my voice right now, whether in the chapel, Lord, I don't know the hearts of people. You do. And those that are listening live, right this minute, if you don't know Jesus, you don't know him as Lord. Oh, listen, you're in darkness. Oh, you're in darkness. Get out of the darkness. Awake up. Wake up now and come to the light. Come to Jesus. Say, just cry out to him right now. Say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I believe. I believe that God raised you from the dead. Say it and believe it. And he will save you. And you will be able to say, I was once darkness, but now I am light of the Lord. If you prayed that prayer, you believed that prayer, I want you to email me right now at info@loveneverfails.com. I'll send you out a booklet immediately. Give me your address. I'll send you out a booklet immediately entitled, Welcome to the Family of God. God is good. Amen.
Thank you for listening along with us today, and we'd like to remind you that Pastor's Ephesians series continues on tomorrow's program, and we do hope you'll tune in once again. Have a wonderful day, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.